If I were to ask you who are the two great preachers in the book of Acts, I know that you would say Peter and Paul. Peter, the great preacher unto the Jews. Paul, the great preacher unto the Gentiles. And the book of Acts revolves around these two great men who went everywhere preaching the Word of God. But there's another evangelist, as he is identified in the book of Acts, that I want us to think about for just a little while together today. If you've got your New Testaments, open them up with me to the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, Acts chapter 8. And I begin reading in verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Wouldn't it be true today that any time and anywhere Jesus is preached and souls are saved, there's going to be great joy in that city? But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Let's focus just a little while on this great preacher, Philip, the evangelist. We might say that he's not the great preacher that Paul was or that Peter was, but Philip was a great evangelist. And he's called that because he carried the good news to so many places. And we're going to spend the day this morning and this evening looking at the great work of this evangelist. All of us can be evangelists. Now, we may not all stand in a pulpit and preach the Word of God, but all of us can be those who carry the good news. That's what an evangelist is, a bearer of good news. Wherever we go, we can carry the good news of the gospel of Christ with us. Let's see what we might learn then from this great evangelist, Philip. Think first of all about the man. The man who Philip was. You remember when you first was introduced to Philip? What is the account in the book of Acts that tells us the beginning of the work of this evangelist? Now I want us to understand that Philip is not the apostle Philip. This is not the one whom Christ chose in Matthew chapter 10 to be among the 12. He's not the apostle Philip, but he is a great servant of God in the New Testament church in the days of the book of Acts. Look at verse number 3, where in Acts chapter 6, we have the recording of Luke, these words. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men, now mark it, of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we, the apostles, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and mark it now, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient unto the faith. Did you notice the name of Philip among those men chosen to serve the needs of the widows that were being neglected in the church at Jerusalem? Philip, a man described as one who was of good reputation, a man full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. What a great man we have identified in the beginning in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, and also we will notice verse number 26 of the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, where the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So here again is Philip the evangelist being given the wonderful opportunity of taking the gospel unto the Ethiopian eunuch. Turn your Bible to Acts, the 21st chapter. For this, I believe, may be the last mention of Philip in the great book of Acts. And I want you to notice what the scripture says about this great evangelist. On the next day, verse number 8 of Acts 21, on the next day, we. And when you look at the word we and you read the book of Acts, you understand that Luke is including himself along with Paul in doing a work. So here is Paul, here is Luke, who were Paul's companions. We departed to Caesarea and entered, notice it now, the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. I think there's something wonderful about Philip described here in these verses. You notice, first of all, that Luke and Paul, companions, go into the house of this man named Philip, the evangelist. And they stay with him many days. I wonder what they talked about. I wonder what they shared together. If I know Paul and Luke and Philip, they would be talking about the wonderful work of the Lord and the spreading of the gospel, the teaching of God's word unto those who were lost. And they must have encouraged each other in the work. I've had the joy of staying with people in their homes, visiting with them, eating with them, praying with them, just sharing time, talking about the work of God. And we notice that Paul and Luke are now here in the house of Philip, the evangelist. Another great thing about this great preacher, Philip, is that he had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Wouldn't this tell us that Philip was an influential father? Some of you in this audience have children who are faithful to the Lord, who work and serve in the kingdom of God. And as you think about the blessing of having children who love the Lord, and as Philip had these four virgin daughters, these young ladies were prophesying the word of God. Now, I don't believe that they were prophesying publicly in an assembly. Can it be possible that these daughters were teaching or prophesying the word of God outside the assembly? You have a ladies' class here, don't you? You might be able to understand that as ladies, you come together and you share, you teach the word of God. Just because you see the word prophesy does not necessarily imply they were usurping authority over men in the preaching of the word of God. These four virgin daughters could certainly have been prophesying and teaching God's word, as some of you do, outside of the church assembly. But these four virgin daughters were great servants, great Christian ladies, and they were the daughters of Philip the evangelist. What a great man then. We look at back in Acts, the 8th chapter, Philip identified in verse 5. I want you to look at a second thing in our text, and that is in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, not only do we see Philip the evangelist, but you notice the mission that Philip is on. Where has he gone? Where is he preaching the word of God? Well, you will notice he is in the city of Samaria. The city of Samaria, where the gospel now is first being taken. That was a fulfillment of the mission that Jesus gave back in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, in Luke 24, and in Acts chapter 1. The mission, the Great Commission, where Jesus said to the apostles, now Philip again is not among these apostles, but Philip is doing what the apostles have done, and that is take that Great Commission, going into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. Go and teach all the nations. In Luke 24, 47, again, Jesus said, and that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name first, beginning at Jerusalem. And all the nations will be able to hear the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 1, if you wanted to have a great outline of the book of Acts, I believe Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, is a great outline. Look at it with me a moment. Acts 1, verse 8. Unto the apostles, Jesus said to them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That is the outline of Acts. You have the gospel beginning in Jerusalem, chapter 2. You have it going into Judea, the next chapters after that. And then you have in Samaria, Acts chapter 8. And then Paul taking the gospel to all the world. And here we find that Philip, the evangelist, is taking part in the wonderful mission, the worldwide mission of the gospel of Christ. Would it have been easy for a Jew or any person to take the gospel unto Samaria? You know how hard it would be for anyone who looked upon the Samaritans as outcasts. But yet the gospel was to go to them. And we look around us today and we ask ourselves, is anyone not worthy of the gospel? Are there those who are outcast of society? Are there those who are in places that we would never want to go with the gospel of Christ? I remember when I first began going to Russia. And as I began working in that great country, there were those who wondered, why? Why would you want to go to that foreign country? Why would you want to go to Russia? They have been an enemy of ours for so many, many years. Why take the gospel to them? Because we believe that Russia is a part of all of the world. And even though at one time they were our great enemies, when God opened the door to take the gospel unto Russia, we wanted to go and share with them the word of God. We have the same commission today. Go where? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Brother Roy Deaver, great gospel preacher, so that when Jesus gave that commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Brother Deaver said that that means you go to the deepest, darkest continent of Africa. You go into the jungle to the deepest, darkest place in Africa, and every single person on the face of the earth should have the privilege of hearing the gospel of Christ. I notice that you have on your table back there the little paper action. That was written many years ago, begun many years ago by Brother Jimmy Lovell. And Brother Lovell believed that everyone had or should have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ one time. And oh, how they ought to be burning in our hearts the desire, as we see in the example of Philip the evangelist, to take the gospel unto the city of Samaria. That was his mission. That was his wonderful privilege. And it is ours today as we take the gospel as our mission to every person. Third and finally, not only do we see something about the great man, Philip, and the wonderful mission of taking the gospel to the city of Samaria, but I want you to notice thirdly and finally the message that he delivers in the city of Samaria. What is he going to preach? Well, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And as Philip then goes down, he preaches the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. He preaches the same gospel that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He preaches the same gospel that Paul will preach to the Gentile world. He preached the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He preaches Christ to them. What do people need to hear this morning? They need to hear the Christ. They need to hear about Jesus. And the multitudes then, as they heard Philip preach, the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. God testified. God confirmed. That's why you have miracles in the preaching in the first century. They did not have the complete Word of God that we have today. Those Samaritans could not take the Word of God in their hands and take and understand and examine what Philip was saying by the Word of God. So the miracles, the power of the Holy Spirit working through Philip was confirming and testifying, this man is preaching to you the truth. And as the Word of God then was confirmed, the message was being testified by God through these wonderful miracles. Philip preaches Christ to them. Now, a lot of people today have the idea that what we need to be doing in preaching to the world today is just preach Christ. Just preach Jesus. Have you ever heard someone say, don't preach doctrine? Because people really, they just want to hear about Jesus. And all we need to do is hold Jesus up, and that's all we need to be preaching. And when we look at what Philip is doing, as he is in Samaria, as he is preaching Christ to them, does Philip just stand up and say, Jesus, 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 Christ, and that's all I'm going to say in my lesson? No, watch. As we see in verse 12, but when they believed Philip, underline it now in your Bibles, as he preached the things concerning, underline it, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Matthew chapter 16, your Bible says, Jesus promises, upon this rock I will build my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now notice how that the church and the kingdom are synonymous. They are the same thing. Could we say then that when Philip preached Jesus to the Samaritans, he preached about Jesus' church? He talked about Jesus' kingdom. Do we not today need to help people understand what Jesus' church really is like? In the midst of all the religious confusion and denominationalism today, don't we need to bring people back to understand what the kingdom of God is, what the church of the Bible really is? How do we identify it? And I'm sure that when Philip preached about the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ, Philip is exalting Christ. He's preaching Jesus when he talks about Jesus' church, the kingdom of God. Notice also that when Philip preaches Jesus unto these Samaritans, he preaches about the name of Jesus Christ. Whenever you think about the name of Jesus Christ, or the name of anything, if someone knocked at your door today and said, "Open up in the name of the law," what is that person saying? Well, standing there at the door is a man representing the authority of the law standing at your door. The authority that is associated with the law that is there at your door. Whenever we are preaching the name of Jesus Christ, we are talking about the authority of Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God the Father by Him. Therefore, the name of Jesus Christ is the authority of Christ. I ask you this morning, where do we find the authority of Christ? Do we not find the authority of Jesus in His testament, in the new covenant? And whatever then we teach by the new covenant, the New Testament, that is the authority of Christ. That is His word. So we have Philip preaching about the kingdom of God, the church. We have Philip preaching about the name of Jesus Christ. That is the authority of Christ in the teachings of the New Testament. And then thirdly and finally, Philip, as he preaches Jesus, he says something about the plan of salvation. You say, "Brother Cochran, how do you know that Philip preached about the plan of salvation?" Because what does the Bible say these people did when they heard Philip preach Christ? Notice, both men and women were what? What does your Bible say? Circle it. Both men and women were baptized. How do these people know to be baptized? Have they ever heard about baptism before? When Philip comes down and Philip declares Jesus, he preaches Christ to them. Surely Philip would say to these people in Samaria, in order for you to receive salvation that is in Christ Jesus, you need to be baptized into Christ. Isn't that what Jesus said in Mark 16? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's my responsibility. That is our responsibility. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is the responsibility of those who hear the gospel of Christ. But how will they know to be baptized if they're not taught? How would these Samaritans understand that they needed to obey in the plan of salvation the need to be baptized? And even Simon himself believed, but he didn't stop there, did he? And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles which were done. So, what does it mean to preach the message that Philip preached? What does it mean to preach Christ? I want, as I preach Christ, always to exalt His church, His kingdom, just like Philip did. And I want to exalt the authority of Christ, the name of Christ, the salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 4 and verse 12. There is no other authority but the authority of Jesus. And I want always to preach the plan of salvation revealed to us in the Bible. That, my friend, is preaching Christ. Maybe in this audience you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ as Philip taught it that day in Samaria. And you have the wonderful opportunity today to do what those people in Samaria did. And the Bible says there was great joy in that city because they heard about Jesus. And they believed in Him. They repented of their sins. They were willing to confess the Savior, Jesus Christ, with their mouth. And they were willing to be baptized in order to find salvation and cleansing through the precious blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you need to do that, you have that opportunity. Or if you need the prayers of this beautiful spiritual family right here at Lake Hills,